Helena Petrovna von Hahn, more popularly known as Madame Blavatsky, or HPB, came from a noble family in Ukraine. Her father, Peter von Hahn, was a descendant of German nobility, while her mother, Helena Andreevna Hahn, came from one of the oldest families of Russian nobility and was also a celebrated novelist. As a child, she would often have visions and displayed clairvoyance as well as other metaphysical phenomena. Years later, she traveled throughout Europe and the Middle East, studying under various teachers and Sufi saints. She met her teacher, an Indian yogi named Master Moria, in London, who later directed her to go to New York in the United States. Once there, she founded the Theosophical Society. In 1885, she started to write The Secret Doctrine, which was finally published 3 years later. The Secret Doctrine has been acknowledged by many as one of the most remarkable books in the world. It is considered to be the Bible of Theosophy, a sourcebook of the esoteric tradition that outlines the fundamental tenets of the secret doctrine of the past ages. Published as two volumes during her lifetime, The Cosmogenesis and Anthropogenesis, The Secret Doctrine explains the origin and evolution of the universe and of humanity through an account of root races dating back millions of years. Although the writer of The Secret Doctrine, Madame Blavatsky, often expressed that she was only the compiler of ancient wisdom that was passed on to her, and that the true authors of the work were her teachers, the Mahatmas, or great souls, who were the guardians of the secret wisdom of the ages. Today on Between Master and Disciples, we invite you to listen to excerpts of Madame Blavatsky's book, Gems from the East, a birthday book of precepts and axioms.
Gems from the East, a birthday book of precepts and axioms. June. There is true knowledge, learn thou it is this, to see one changeless life in all that lives, and in the separate, one inseparable. There is imperfect knowledge, that which sees the separate existences apart, and being separated, holds them real. There is false knowledge, that which blindly clings to one as if 'twere all, seeking no cause, deprived of light, narrow, and dull, and dark. Song Celestial, Book 18, from the Bhagavad Gita.
Judge the tree by its fruits, man by his deeds. Theosophy is not the acquirement of powers, whether psychic or intellectual, though both are its servants. Neither is theosophy the pursuit of happiness, as men understand the word, for the first step is sacrifice, the second, renunciation. Life is built up by the sacrifice of the individual to the whole. Each cell in the living body must sacrifice itself to the perfection of the whole. When it is otherwise, disease and death enforce the lesson. Theosophy is the science of life, the art of living.
Harmony is the law of life, discord its shadow. When springs suffering, the teacher, the awakener of consciousness. Through joy and sorrow, pain and pleasure, the soul comes to a knowledge of itself. The eyes of wisdom are like the ocean depths. There is neither joy nor sorrow in them. Therefore, the soul of the disciple must become stronger than joy and greater than sorrow. We hate but those whom we envy or fear. Self-knowledge is unattainable by what men usually call self-analysis. It is not reached by reasoning or any brain powers.
Real self-knowledge is the awakening to consciousness of the divine nature of man. Will is the offspring of the divine, the God in man. Will is the exclusive possession of man. It divides him from the brute, in whom instinctive desire only is active. To obtain the knowledge of self is a greater achievement than to command the elements or to know the future. The great watchword of the true is this: in last analysis all things are divine. Fear is the slave of pain and rebellion her captive.
Endurance is the free companion of sorrow and patience her master. The husband of pain is rapture, but the souls are few in whom that marriage is consummated. Spirituality is not what we understand by the words virtue and goodness. It is the power of perceiving formless spiritual essences. The discovery and right use of the true essence of being, this is the whole secret of life. When desire is for the purely abstract, when it has lost all trace or tinge of self, then it has become pure.
Adepts are rare as the blossom of the Udambara tree. The one eternal, immutable law of life alone can judge and condemn man absolutely. Will and desire are both absolute creators, forming the man himself and his surroundings. Will creates intelligently, desire blindly and unconsciously. Man makes himself in the image of his desires, unless he creates himself in the likeness of the divine, through his will, the child of the light.
Theosophy is the vehicle of the spirit that giveth life. Consequently, nothing dogmatic can be theosophical. Some pluck the fruits of the tree of knowledge to crown themselves therewith, instead of plucking them to eat. It is not necessary for truth to put on boxing gloves. You cannot build a temple of truth by hammering dead stones. Its foundations must precipitate themselves, like crystals from the solution of life.
July. The mind enlightened casts its grief away. It is not to be known by knowledge, man. Woteth, it is not by wisdom, learning vast, halts short of it. Only by soul itself is soul perceived, when the soul wills it so. There shines no light save its own light to show itself unto itself. The Secret of Death, from the Katha Upanishad.
One cannot fill a vacuum from within itself. When a certain point is reached, pain becomes its own anodyne. Many a man will follow a misleader. Few will recognize truth at a glance. Esteem that to be eminently good, which when communicated to another will be increased to yourself. Be persuaded that those things are not your riches which you do not possess in the penetralia of the reasoning power.
As many passions of the soul, so many fierce and savage despots. No one is free who has not obtained the empire of himself. It is the business of a musician to harmonize every instrument, but of a well-educated man to adapt himself harmoniously to every fortune. It is excellent to impede an unjust man, but if this be not possible, it is excellent not to act in conjunction with him. Sin should be abstained from, not through fear, but for the sake of the becoming.
Vehement desires about any one thing render the soul blind with respect to other things. Many men who have not learned to argue rationally still live according to reason. The equal is beautiful in everything, but excess and defect do not appear so. It is the property of a divine intellect to be always intensely thinking about the beautiful. As two pieces of wood may come together in the ocean, and having met, may separate again, like this is the meeting of mortals. Youth is like a mountain torrent. Wealth is like the dust on one's feet. Manhood is fugitive as a water drop. Life is like foam.
Who fulfills not duty with steadfast mind, duty which opens the portals of bliss, surprised by old age and remorse, he is burned by the fire of grief. Even in a forest hermitage, sin prevails over the unholy. The restraint of the senses in one's own house, this is asceticism. Who performs a right action, free from impurity, the house of that man is a forest hermitage. As the streams of a river flow on and return not, so pass away the days and nights, taking away the lives of men. Unenduring are youth, beauty, life, wealth, lordship, the society of the beloved. Let not the wise be deluded by these.
In this world, fugitive as tempest-driven waves, death for another is a rich price earned by virtue in a former birth. The shadows of a cloud, the favor of the base, new corn, a flower, these last only a little time. So it is with youth and riches. Let the wise think on wisdom as unfading and immortal. Let him fulfill his duty as though death grasped him by the hair. If evil be said of thee, and if it be true, correct thyself. If it be a lie, laugh at it. Pagodas are measured by their shadows, and great men by their enviers.
The sage does not say what he does, but he does nothing that cannot be said. The man who finds pleasure in vice and pain in virtue is still a novice in both. The wise man does good as naturally as he breathes. He is a man who does not turn away from what he has said. The heart of the fool is in his tongue, the tongue of the wise is in his heart.
August. Death has no power the immortal soul to slay, that when its present body turns to clay, seeks a fresh home, and with unlessened might, inspires another frame with life and light. So I myself will either past recall, when the fierce Greeks begirt Troy's holy war, was brave Euphorbus, and in conflicts drear poured forth my blood beneath Atrides' spear. The shield that this arm did bear I lately saw in Juno's shrine, a trophy of that war. Dryden's Ovid.
The man who neglects the truth he finds in his soul in order to follow its dead letter is a time server. Man who has not hesitated to project his own image in space and call it the Creator, sculpted not to endow God with his own vices. He who has been once deceived dreads evil and suspects it even in truth. Krishna, the golden-haired God, replied not to the reviling of the king of Chedi, to the roar of the tempest, and not to the jackal's howl, the elephant trumpets a reply.
Not the tender pliant grass is uprooted by the storm, but the lofty trees, the mighty war only with the mighty. In happiness there is envy, there are no unmixed pleasures, no creature, no thing is free from evil, no part of it is secure from pain. Grieve not about thy sustenance, nature will supply it. When a creature is born, the mother's breast supplies milk. Who gave the swan his whiteness? The parrot his wings of golden green, the peacock his iris hues. Will not that which provided for them provide for thee?
All good fortune belongs to him of contented mind. This world is a venomous tree, bearing two honey-sweet fruits, the divine essence of poetry and the friendship of the noble. By the fall of water drops, the pitcher is gradually filled. This is the cause of wisdom, of virtue, and of wealth. Let one who would live in the memory of his fellow men make every day fruitful by generosity, study, and noble arts. No plunge in clear, cool water delights so much the heat oppressed, no necklace the maiden, as the words of the good delight the good.
Good men vary. Some are like coconuts, full of sweet milk. Others, like the jujube, externally pleasing, like an earthen vessel, easy to break, hard to reunite, are the wicked. The good are like vessels of gold, hard to break and quickly united. Be not a friend to the wicked. Charcoal, when hot, burns, when cold, it blackens the fingers. Shun him who secretly slanders and praises openly. He is like a cup of poison with cream on the surface. A chariot cannot go on one wheel alone, so destiny fails unless men's acts cooperate.
The noble delight in the noble, the base do not. Like moonbeams trembling on water, truly such is the life of mortals. Knowing this, let duty be performed. Bathe in the river of the soul, O man, for not with water is the soul washed clean. The pure soul is a river whose holy source is self-control, whose water is truth, whose bank is righteousness, whose waves are compassion. Of a gift to be received or given, of an act to be done, time drinks up the flavor, unless it be quickly performed.
When the weak-minded is deprived of wealth, his actions are destroyed, like rivulets dried up in hot seasons. He who wants a faultless friend must remain friendless. Eat and drink with your friends, but do not trade with them. Without trouble, one gets no honey. Without grief and sorrow, no one passes his life. What good is advice to a fool?
September. Shall there not be as good a then as now? Haply much better, therefore I fear not, and therefore, holy sir, my life is glad. Nowise forgetting yet those other lives, painful and poor, wicked and miserable, whereon the gods grant pity, but for me, what good I see, humbly I seek to do, and live obedient to the law, in trust, that what will come and must come shall come well. Light of Asia, Book 6.
To him who has subdued self by self, his self is a friend. But to him who has not subdued senses by mind, that self is an enemy. The eye is a window which looks into the heart. The brain is a door through which heart escapes. Clear vision are not his who eats too much, nor his who eats not at all. Not his who sleeps too much, nor his who is too awake. At the end of a life of study, the man possessed of knowledge approaches deity, and at the end of many lives, the wise man becomes one with the all. Grief and wrath, avarice and desire, delusion and laziness, vindictiveness and vanity, envy and hatred, censoriousness and slander, are the 12 sins destructive of man's bliss.
Let your soul work in harmony with the universal intelligence as your breath does with the air. Let no bitterness find entrance into the heart of a mother. Pervert not the heart of a man who is pure, for he will turn thine own first enemy. Do not make a wicked man thy companion or act on the advice of a fool. Save not thy life at the expense of another's, as he will take two of thy lives in future births. Mock not the deformed, assume not a proud demeanor with thy inferiors, hurt not the feelings of the poor, be kind to those weaker than thyself, and charitable to all beings. Our many thanks for your presence for today's episode of Between Master and Disciples. Join us next Wednesday for part two of excerpts from Madame Blavatsky's book, Gems from the East, a birthday book of precepts and axioms. Now, please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants, coming up next right after Noteworthy News. May heavens bless your life with much joy and beauty.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/BMD.